criticism. Easy solution for removal. We certainly do want to remove it if we are interested in spiritual growth. Dr. Fluno, one of Mary Baker Eddy's earliest lecturers, states that criticism leads to all evil. The very first introductory quote at the beginning of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the Christian Science textbook, states, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's from the Gospel of John, quoting Jesus. The second quote is from Shakespeare. "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third and final quote, as an introduction to the textbook, is from Mary Baker Eddy, and she states, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." As an introduction to the textbook, she's telling us all the clues we need to know to solve any problem. Number one, we must realize that understanding what truth is enables us to rise above slavery, confinement, false belief of anything that is unlike God. And of course, the two key things we need to include at the forefront of our thought is, what is God, what is man, and what is the relationship between God and man? In studying, the Enlightenment will likely include the fact that God must have a manifestation in order to be a God, and the manifestation must have a source in order to exist. Therefore, they are mutually dependent on each other, directly connected, and they are all one unit. The second quote from Shakespeare makes it clear that our thinking not only has a direct impact on what we are seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, but the thinking involved actually creates our entire view of everything that we are seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. We have probably experienced being next to someone that was looking at exactly the same thing that we were viewing, and there were two different opinions about what it was that they were seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. This is basically predetermined by our DNA. However, Christian Science, or the system of divine metaphysics, which refers to the system that Mary Baker Eddy discovered and gave to the world, can change anything that is negative into the truth, which is always good. Mary Baker Eddy states this on page 146 of the textbook. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. On page 330, she gives us some specific information about this. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. And from page 330 to 340, she gives us the specific text of those 32 planks that we must study, learn, and understand. And of course, the only way we will ever understand anything is by checking it out for ourselves. Make it our own. Be able to state it in our own words without changing the original meaning. And to really understand anything, we have to live it. We have to practice it. Ashkenazi, one of the greatest pianists of all time, was asked how could he play the piano with such perfection. And he said, "I practice, practice, practice until the music plays me." He was Russian, as are so many artists and technical people who have excelled, provide such fine examples of excellence. Perfection in any field that is wholesome is an example of divinity. Mary Baker Eddy defines God on page 465 as being incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. When one gets their self out of the way, they are reflecting the incorporeal nature of God. When they have perfected something, that is divine. Supreme, they're at the top. No flaws. They're reflecting the flawless nature of spirit. And they are living the statement by Mary Baker Eddy, wherein she states, infinite progression is concrete being. This is what we should all strive for in everything we do. And we have the ability to do it. Because God is all ability. He's all capacity, all functionality. We can shed anything that appears to be a limitation, and utilizing the wisdom of Shakespeare will be a great tool in doing that. When he says there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so, we must latch on to the perfection of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, which is all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing. In fact, it's more than all. It is omni, which means one only and all. That's all considered a part of omniscience. On page 587 of the textbook, Mary Baker Eddy defines good as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. She also gives us a slightly different definition of God, which is not in conflict, but only an emphasis on a few other words, where she says God is the great I Am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. And she defines man as the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. That's from page 591. She defines mind as the only I, or us, the only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love, the one God, not that which is in man, but the divine principle or God of whom man is the full and perfect expression. Deity, which outlines but is not outlined. That's also page 591. On page 468, she provides a scientific statement of being. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. If we use the ideas that are expressed in these definitions and couple it with what Shakespeare gives us in his wisdom about there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so, we can exchange any thought that is less than 100% godlike with the godlike thought, which is the truth. And that kind of method will enable us to understand better what the first quote at the beginning of the textbook is telling us. And of course, the key is to live it. The third quote at the beginning of the textbook is really telling us that our prayer is our life. How are we living? Because that is our prayer. The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. And that certainly is one valid way to do it. to live it. What good do we want to accomplish? We need to live it. Also, we must realize that if we want to have improvement in our life, we must nurture a life of giving. This is what the Golden Rule is all about. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Be merciful, just, and pure. That is stated on page 497 of the textbook, which is part of the sixth tenet, or sixth important point about Christian Science. Jesus amplifies the value of that when he responded to the Pharisees who asked him, what is the most important of all the commandments? He stated, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. He considered it a unified commandment, because we really can't love God unless we are loving our neighbor. For our neighbor is the image and likeness of God. Everyone is, if we will only seek the truth about what God is and what God's manifestation is. Because God includes God's manifestation, and that includes our neighbor, ourselves, everyone in the entire existence. What did Mary Baker Eddy do in order to make sure that she removed criticism from every thought, speech, and action of herself? Every hour, she stopped whatever she was doing to do a self-analysis of her own consciousness to make sure that she was only thinking good about everything and everyone. And she stated that when she was in that frame of consciousness, she could heal anything instantaneously. If that's not an incentive for wanting to remove from our thought any inkling of criticism of anyone or anything, then I don't know what would be. Because that's as strong as anyone could get. That's exactly the life that Jesus led. That's why he could do the healing that he did. It wasn't magic. He is not God. Not that God does anything magic. Because God is only God. God is everything that I've mentioned in this recording about the definition of God and the definition of good. That's what God is. Albert Einstein, the famous physicist, stated this about Mary Baker Eddy. Blessed art thou, because everything that really is in this book. When he said thou, he even capitalized it, and he was referring to Mary Baker Eddy. And the book, of course, is the one we've discussed, which is Signs and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Why would he make such a dramatic statement like that? It links exactly to other statements he made. He said, science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. So what is Christian Science? It's exactly what Einstein emphasized that was so important. Religion has to include science, and science has to include religion. So if you put religion and science together, voila, Christian Science. The system of divine metaphysics tells us how to apply it and come up with what others would call miracles, but it was only a natural part of healing, which Jesus proved. Just like when he resurrected and then ascended. He was proving science. It wasn't a miracle. When he raised Lazarus 3 days after Lazarus had already passed on. Well, where did he pass on to? He was in another plane of thinking. But Jesus rejoined him on the level where Jesus was. And Mary and Martha, his two sisters, so they could all see that he was alive and well. Thinking he was dead was only a false belief. But what mistake did Lazarus make? The same as everyone else that Jesus healed. Except Mary Magdalene. And that is, he didn't show up at the cross, at the crucifixion. Nope. Lazarus did not show up. John, the only disciple that showed up. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And as noted, Mary Magdalene. And there was another Mary. Everyone was in fear that if they were seen in the presence of Jesus, that they too would be hanging on a cross. They tried to kill John by putting him in a pot of boiling oil, just like they tried to kill Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king tried to kill Daniel, put him in a lion's den. Our life, our salvation, is individual. It's not a group affair. It's between God and ourselves. It's between the laws of God, what God is, and ourselves. Remember, God is incorporeal. He doesn't have ears. No use asking him for some special favor or event. We have to ask our consciousness. Is it open? Can we pour the truth about what God is into our consciousness? Are we willing to live our prayer? Are we willing to cultivate a life of giving? And when we're giving, do we do it and want credit? Do we want a big thank you? Do we want anything at all when we're giving? We should want one thing, that we are using intelligence to give wisely. We can have all the money in the world, and if we just throw it into something that is supposedly a charity, that's not wisdom. That's not perfection. Mary Baker Eddy says she makes strong demands on love, which is perfection. Do we use wisdom and intelligence no matter what we're doing? That's what we need to do. No one else is going to do it for us. We have to be doing it ourselves. When I was taking a class one time, and it was about a rather complicated set of mathematical calculations, it was easy to notice that the instructor, who was supposed to be the best in America on that topic, repeated every key point at least twice, so that he said it three times. I mean, he was giving us instruction on things that were not simple to a material sense. So I knew that he couldn't be having any kind of a problem with memory. So I went up at the first break and I asked him about it. And he said, that's exactly right. He said, if you study about the capacity of memory, you will find that if one hears it twice, it's a big improvement on how long they remember it. And if they hear it three times, it's a much better result than if they only hear it twice. So I say everything three times. I may say a little differently to give you a little variety, but I'm basically delivering the key point three specific times. He said, you want to know how to really remember something? And of course, I was interested. He said, you have to live it. You have to live it. You have to practice, practice, practice. You have to do it. Do it, do it, do it. That's how you will really learn it, remember it, and make it your own. He said, you have to make it your own. I took a class from someone else, and he really was introducing a new idea to the industry. No one had ever brought forth the ideas that he was expounding. I ended up becoming friends with him, because I was really desirous about pursuing this new concept he was introducing. He gave some special classes on a private level. Oh, I think we had about 10 or 15 in the group I was in. And you could tell that he really lived what he was doing, because he was experimenting continuously, discovering new insights about how these mathematical formulas were affecting what he was applying it to, depending on the different ways that they were applied. So he was continuously researching. It wasn't like he made some great discovery and that was it. Mary Baker Eddy has referred to this in Christian Science. When she was asked, "Do you mind if other people write books about Christian Science? What's your opinion on it?" She says, "It is so vast that I encourage it. As long as they write honestly and understand what they're talking about." Christ in Christmas is considered her most advanced work because she condensed down into a small booklet all of the concepts of Christian Science. It's like a poem. It can express in a few words wisdom that it could take hundreds or even thousands of pages to try to explain. Or looking at a picture. It's been said that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Or can be worth any number, depending on how much you see in the picture. We have to make it our own. We have to discover it individually. We have to play with it. We have to test it. One of the greatest Christian Scientists of all time, next to Mary Baker Eddy, was Frederick L. Rawson. He said whenever he had a new inspiration, he tested it to see if it worked. He would utilize what he had discovered, what worked for him in treating a particular situation. And if the healing came about, he knew that he was doing it correctly, and he understood correctly what the principle was that was involved. He wrote a book that is entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, in which he has a section called Applied Treatment, where he has 1,315 different ailments listed. I mean, everything you could think of, any problem you could ever come across is included. And it's not recommended that you study that section on applied treatment on anything except what you may be desiring to work out of that appears to be a present problem. Because you don't want to embed in your thought 1,314 things that are not a problem. Just the one thing is what you should study and research explore, and test for yourself. So he was a man of testing things to see if it worked. He didn't beat a dead drum. He wanted something that worked, so he would test it. He discovered how to heal back in time, to actually go back to a prior period based on the calendar and heal it effective on that date. We give you details on how he conducted himself to heal in that manner. In other words, if someone had a problem they were suffering with for many years, he could go back to the time that they first became aware that they had a problem and heal it at that point. So as you can guess, all time between then and the present, the memory of that problem was all removed from his DNA, from his consciousness, from his experiences in life. The thought of it was totally removed. It did not exist anymore for him or anyone else that thought of him in a deficient manner, that thought of him as having that problem. You know, maybe it was like a spouse or, you know, close family members or anyway, whatever, whomever it was, that time was erased. The DNA was changed. Repetition. That's what living it means. You're repeating it all the time. If you have a problem with something, every time the thought comes up about that problem, you should treat it. Every time. Remember the effectiveness of Mary Baker Eddy treating her thought about criticism. She was one of the most loving people that ever existed on planet Earth. She had people attacking her all the time. Anyone that excels is surrounded by jealousy, envy, resentment, you name it. You are alone. Don't expect to have a lot of friends if you're thought to be more proficient in something than they are. Human nature is not a nature that appreciates. It's a nature that is based on what is stated in Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 4, and stated many other parts of the Bible. I'll read to you the part that is titled Depravity from page 115 of Science and Health. And 115 and 116 explain the four levels of humanity. Well, three levels of humanity, and one is divine. And this is the lowest level, which is entitled Depravity. This is Adam and Eve, This is supposedly our lineage. Supposedly in the DNA of everyone. It is recommended that you study page 115 and 116. It is recommended you study pages 115 and 116 directly from the textbook, but I will read the definitions of the three levels. The lowest level is depravity. That's called scientific translation of mortal mind, and it's physical. Evil beliefs, passions and appetites, fear, depraved will, self-justification, pride, envy, deceit, hatred, revenge, sin, sickness, disease, death. It's also labeled the first degree and unreality. The second one is labeled transitional qualities, second degree, evil beliefs disappearing. And the main title on the first one was physical. This one is titled moral. Humanity, honesty, affection, compassion, hope, faith, meekness, temperance. The third degree is the next level up, and it is termed reality, and the main title is understanding and spiritual. Third degree. Wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness. And she states the following. In the third degree, mortal mind disappears and man as God's image appears. Science so reverses the evidence before the corporeal human senses as to make this scriptural testimony true in our hearts. The last shall be first, and the first last. So that God and His idea may be to us what divinity really is and must of necessity be, all-inclusive. And the paragraph heading on that is called Spiritual Universe. So those are all mortal mind, going from the unreality to the transitional to the reality. Now, the top level is scientific translation of immortal mind. And it is in three paragraphs. One is the definition of God. The other one, the next one is man. And the next one is idea. So I will read them from top to bottom. The first one is called Divine Synonyms. God, Divine Principle, Life, Truth, Love, Soul, Spirit, Mind. The second one is called Divine Image, and that is the definition for man. God's spiritual idea, individual, perfect, eternal. And the third one is called Idea, Divine Reflection. An image in mind, the immediate object of understanding. And that's a quote from Webster. So you can see there's quite a progression in one's consciousness going from depravity, the first one read, to the final one, which is the scientific translation of immortal mind, where you end up with being God, divine principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. Based on the introductory quotes for the textbook, it's easy to see the importance of how we think. That's the second quote from Shakespeare. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. In other words, we believe the way we're thinking. Now, if we're doing what Einstein suggests, we're going to use the function of curiosity continuously. Einstein stated that curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. And of course, the first quote is about truth. That's at the beginning of the textbook. Truth shall make you free. We basically make ourselves free from believing something at a level lower than perfect God, which includes perfect man, and the entire universe. Keeping in mind that our goal should always be focused on seeing perfection in everybody and everything. Because only if we are in that level of consciousness can we do the instantaneous healing. We need to live our prayer and helping other people, making other people happy, the selflessness and humility, just like Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Our motive should be unilateral. Give. Cultivate a life of giving by practicing and living it. Don't even give a thought to receiving. Don't even look for a thank you. Because that's ego. That's not giving. Giving is giving impersonally. And know that your giving is going to be providing something of value. Whether or not you receive a thank you is not your business. We must do our duty, not be concerned about what other people do or don't do. That's up to them. They're working out their own salvation. We're not working it out for them. And we're working out our salvation. Our salvation is moved off of the needle of neutral to a positive when we are doing good. Mary Baker Eddy says, "The good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable." That's our duty, to embody goodness and to be doing it. And I would add to that thinking, and any talking must be fulfilling the definition of good in the glossary. There was a fellow one time that was accomplishing so much good that one day he was asked, how could he do so much? He said, there was a day one time that I just bent over, lower and lower and lower, until I felt like I was absolutely nothing. And that's when I gave my all to asking God for guidance. And what does He want me to do? And thoughts would flow to me on what I should be doing. And I did that continuously. Whatever it was, whatever the thought that came to me on how I could serve humanity, Clara Barton was admired because she did so much when she established the Red Cross in America. She worked hours that no one could believe. She had the energy to just work all the time. So little sleep. At that time, the Red Cross was really a worthy organization. Like most organizations, it became very corrupt. And now, it's totally corrupt. Has been for a long time. Mary Baker Eddy worked tirelessly the President of the United States. Everyone else around him is worn out. He keeps right on working. He has a motive to help America. He has a driving force that gives him so much energy and vitality and enthusiasm. Whenever we're helping others, it is an entirely different realm than when we're doing something for ourselves. And the more impersonal we can be when we're helping others, in other words, being attracted to the concept of giving, helping other people solve their problems. I don't mean putting our nose in someone else's business. I'm talking about serving impersonally, no matter what we do. If one is studying sincerely and not getting results, look in the mirror. Ask yourself, what am I doing to give to others? We know an organization that sends out an email to 2,000 different people every week with the Bible lesson sermons from 1910 to 1920. They're good people. We know them. And I ask the one that does the work, how much time does it take you to do that? And they said, oh, 4 or 5 hours. And I said, how many thank yous do you receive? Oh, maybe one. Maybe none, maybe two. Between none and two. So out of 2,000, that's it. She wasn't concerned about it. She wanted to give. Their donations are few and far between. What are you giving? The Bible says we should tithe, which is a tenth part. I read that as being the average person. Are you an average person? You want to be a B student? An A student? Really superior? And not comparing to other people, comparing to perfection. Probably should be looking at 20 or 30%. And remember, there's many ways to give. Money is one way. Other things. Do you have clothes you don't need? Anything in your garage. Maybe it would be useful to someone else. They have animal thrift shops where you can donate things that are secondhand or new. And the proceeds of the organization are supposed to go to help animals. Of course, if you can give directly to people you know that are in need, that's good, very good. That way you know that it's getting to the people that can use it. Most organizations give almost nothing to the ones that they're supposed to be benefiting. They steal it all. If one does errands, the motive should be to be alert to how you can help the people that you see. The errands should just be an incidental thing. If everyone did that really lived the golden rule and was alert to see how can they help everyone in their view, we have to be intelligent in everything we do. And we need to be impersonal and not look for anything to be returned. And if we can do it anonymously, that is beautiful. Because the feeling one has when they give and the other person has no way to give back . That is the best kind of giving you can do. Look around. What do you have that you don't need and maybe someone else could use? the heart is really going out when you give something to someone that you could use yourself. I mentioned Frederick L. Rawson, who was probably the closest one to Mary Baker Eddy that anyone could ever imagine in terms of his excellence in being a student of Mary Baker Eddy. His goal was to make other people happy. He said, that's our purpose to be here on earth. Mary Baker Eddy, on an hourly basis, did a self-examination to make sure that she had no element of criticism in her thought whatsoever. Hourly. And she specifically prayed 3 times a day for all humanity. If we are busy thinking about the goodness that is all around and making sure that anyone that is within our thought is giving the benefit of the goodness that we exude with, we don't have any time for criticism. We don't have any space in our consciousness for criticism. If that is the one thing that leads to all evil, the formula is very easy. Don't do it. Wentworth Winslow was another really fine student of Christian Science. He wrote 3 different articles on malpractice. He wrote 4 books. All of them are very short names. They have the word God in it. And he has an article in 3 out of the 4 just on that one topic. The book is a compilation of 20 or 30, 35 articles. Each one are very important. And he's a wonderful writer. Seems like there's 126 articles total, divided between the 4 books. He raised a boy that had passed on. About malpractice, he said mal means bad. He said it's bad practice. Think about Shakespeare. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What kind of thinking are you doing? Good or bad? He makes a very simple statement regarding bad practice, bad thinking. He said, don't do it. Don't do it. As Christian Scientists, it's very easy for us to replace bad thinking with good thinking. But because we have so much in resources, I mentioned a few very short ones that one could think about, but there's an unlimited number. Think how you can apply the scientific statement of being. I know someone that replaced the word matter There's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. They replaced it with a problem they had, and they put that in there. Every place that talked about matter or mortal mind or things like that, they replaced it with a spiritual solution or a spiritual view. In a few days, they were healed of the problem. Every time the thought came to them about the problem, they stopped what they were doing and focused on just that one brief statement, scientific statement of being. Mary Baker Eddy says that if we understand the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer, we will experience instantaneous healing. And she gives us the spiritual sense on page 16 and 17 of the textbook. We give you detailed instructions on how you can study to improve your spiritual understanding. And if you follow the system that we outline with specifics, you will be able to heal anything that comes up. The key is what Mary Baker Eddy told a student that was having a problem with vision, and she asked her one question: can you focus no matter what comes your way? Remember Shakespeare, our thinking is what produces our result. Repetition in an understanding way . Look at the words that Mary Baker Eddy gives us and put them into your own words, being careful to make sure you retain the original intent, the original message. If you follow the directions that we offer, you have guaranteed results. Everything has to be with an atmosphere of love. We have to learn the letter, and we have to accompany it with the spirit. Put your heart into it, like your life depends on it. Because it does. We cannot have a life worth anything if we're not living a life of giving. Because that gives us rewards that we cannot even imagine if we've never done it before. Be grateful for everything. And if you see evil, flip it and think of the opposite. That's the best cure for evil. Evil can't stand truth. It can't stand good. Hate cannot tolerate love. It will run away, or it'll just totally melt. It can't live with love. Failure cannot live with success. Are you failing at something? Turn it around. Turn a lemon into a lemonade. The failure will run away. Anyone that has not failed has never done anything. It's how you think about it, what you do about it, that counts. Never give in. Never give up. Never quit. No matter what comes your way, focus. Focus on the truth. Live your prayer of goodness and giving, and you will not fail. You cannot fail, because success is built on a platform of giving. Give whatever is needed. Perseverance. Intelligence. Monitor what you're doing. What brings success and what doesn't. Test. If you have a new enlightenment, test it. See if it works. There are 8.2 or 3 billion people in the world. Everyone is unique. Everyone has their own salvation to work out. And every single one is different. No two are alike. Our duty is to find what our niche is. Connect with God. Connect with the infinite, the omni, intelligent wisdom and knowing divine mind. I'm grateful for every single individual that I learned from, whether it was in writing, that I studied, or conversation, or saw them in action, how they were conducting themselves, that I learned from. Everyone in the Bible that I learned from, all of Mary Baker Eddy's writings, the writings of other advanced students of Christian Science, I'm eternally grateful for what I've learned about what it refers to on page 146 and 330 about the system of divine metaphysics, because we can all experience the same kind of healing that other ones have experienced. Joel Goldsmith, Wentworth Winslow, Frederick L. Rawson, they all had 15-minute appointments. At the end of 15 minutes, either there was a healing or there was a breakthrough that opened the door for it. Joel Goldsmith walked into the Benevolent Association, which is a Christian Science nursing home. He was called there because someone was ill. And the receptionist said, "You don't want to go in there." He said, "Why?" He said, "Everyone's sick." The receptionist said that. "Everyone's sick, and it's contagious. You go in there and you'll come back and you'll be having a problem." He said, "How many people do you have here?" It was between 100 and 200 people. He said, well, you don't have 100 or 200 problems. You only have one. He sat down in the waiting room for a few minutes, got his thought directly in alignment with God, knowing that everything was possible with God, and God was taking care of all of his ideas. And he had some other thoughts that he focused on. And in a few minutes, everyone in the entire building was healed. They started coming out, saying, what happened? Everyone's healed now, like magic. Well, it wasn't magic. He understood what God was all about, what man was all about, and the relationship. Mary Baker Eddy conducted her college of metaphysics from 1881 to 1898. The ones that she invited, which were the only ones she permitted in the final class of 1898, they were all individually, personally invited by Mary Baker Eddy. They all received the doctorate of Christian Science degree, CSD. On the third day, she sent them all out, and she said, when you come back tomorrow, I want you to tell me about the healings that you performed. Every one of you have a responsibility to heal something or someone. And they all came back with success. She gave us 8 short prayers called Diapason of Heaven. The title to this recording is Spirit, Criticism, Easy Solution for Removal. I will read the Diapason of Heaven prayer that Mary Baker Eddy gave us on the topic of spirit. And that will conclude this recording. Diapason of Heaven with a Focus on Spirit by Mary Baker Eddy. We must declare often that spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is spirit. Individual, incorporeal, immaterial. Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. My wholehearted gratitude to Mary Baker Eddy and Christ Jesus at the head of the list of those who gave of themselves for all humanity. Amen.